Evander, thanks so much for doing this. Look, as I said, I think you put into words what a lot of people have often felt. I'll just ask you, as you know, as an African American player in the NHL, do you think this gives you a different American or a different perspective, perhaps, than athletes in other sports?
For sure. I think just because if you look at the four major sports in North America, you know, there's a lot more diversity among those athletes. And in hockey, obviously, there's very few. So, you know, it's definitely a different aspect and a different lens you look through.
Evander, what do you think? What would it mean? And again, we've talked a lot about whether athletes have a responsibility or they should be compelled to take political positions. I think, again, this is a specific moment, you know, and these are not necessarily about political dividing lines, but about human dividing lines. But what would it mean to have white athletes stand beside African-American athletes, African-Canadian athletes in a moment like this and lend their voices? What difference would it make?
Well, I think it's, you know, it would make a huge difference first and foremost. And I want to say that it's just not athletes, right? It's people with voices, people with big voices, public figures, whether you're an athlete, a celebrity, somebody that works in politics, whatever it may be. It's people at the top, and you know, people view athletes, you know, kind of at the top. In terms of grouping, in terms of that group. And when you have ethnicities other than the ones that are being affected step up and say something, that causes a real dialogue. It can cause real change, and it can cause people to really open up their eyes and come together. And I think that's the biggest thing. And we don't have nearly enough of that. Clearly, and you know, in particular to our sport, you know, there's been a handful of guys that I've seen that have spoke up and mentioned it and spoke out against, you know, what has just transpired as an example recently, but nowhere enough and nowhere the voices that really can make a serious impact.
Evander, you've played in Atlanta, Buffalo, and San Jose. You played in Winnipeg and Vancouver in the WHL. For you as a person of color, have your experiences when it comes to systematic or institutional racism been different depending on what side of the border you're on?
For sure, yeah. I mean, we don't have enough time to get into all the different experiences I've had, whether that's in Canada or the U.S. or just in general, but you know, and it's not even necessarily depending on which country you're on. It depends on the city. You know, I was in Atlanta when I first got drafted, and coming from Vancouver, which is, you know, there's a pretty good mix of different ethnicities there, but again, not a lot of black people. And I go to a city in Atlanta, which is, you're either black or you're white. There's really no other ethnicity in Atlanta. So in a way, I felt a lot of comfort in going there, and you know, I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Atlanta and loved the city. And then I go to a place, you know, then we get moved, and it's a completely different feel. And it only took a couple of months to really understand the difference of, you know, what city I was playing in compared to where I just come from. So, I mean, there's, whether it's systematic racism, whether it's racism directed through social media, to my face, whatever it may be, whether it's silent racism, which is something that not a lot of people talk about and don't understand. And that's a big problem, because that's what, you know, there's not a lot of people that, I don't know if there's really been anybody that's come up to my face on the street and uttered a racist slur at me. A lot of it is social media. A lot of it is behind your back. A lot of it is in the shadows. And we, as a society, want to just pretend it's not there.
Evander, you know, it's interesting. You talked about the need to create a dialogue. And I think that is kind of what is at the heart of this, isn't it? When you go on ESPN or social media. I mean, yes, you're making a statement and you're standing up for things, but there is a way of using those platforms to create a dialogue, which I think is ultimately, that's where we need to go here, isn't it? Like, I made the point, look, Twitter's been mad at something for 10 years, right? It's been mad at something since it's been around. It's been mad at somebody or something. But if you can use it to create a dialogue and get like-minded people to kind of work through things and figure out a way to convince people who aren't like-minded, that's kind of what we need to do here. And in a way, it seems to me that's what you're trying to do, isn't it? It's not just lashing out. It's, hey, let's talk about this and let's see if there's something, some sort of an agreement or some sort of way forward that can get us talking about this in a serious way.
Yeah, no, I don't think it has anything to do with lashing out. I think if people want to view it that way, they can. But all I'm doing is just stating facts. And sometimes people don't like to understand. They're not willing to. And they don't want to face the facts of certain situations, whether that's on or off the ice, or whether that's about sport, or whether that's about life. And, you know, facts are what I like to deal with. And when you talk about the conversation, that's something that I've been trying to have ever since I got into the NHL. That's something I took upon myself early in my career as an 18-year-old in Atlanta, and tried to translate that from there. And, you know, I've had some obstacles and some pushback, a lot of pushback. And I think really, in terms of hockey, what really brought to light racism is the Akeem Alou story and that having an effect on somebody who is current in our league. And hockey having no choice but to have that discussion, but to listen, but to, you know, have conversations about it. And I just don't want that to be something that is now considered dealt with and pushed aside and forgotten about, because that's just something, that's just one story. That's just one player. You know, I spoke the other day with a kid from Carolina about how he came up and played in the GTHL in Ontario there, and how he played 40 games, and he said 50% of those games, which would be 20, he encountered some sort of racism on the ice. So it's not just Akeem 10 years ago. It's not just Wayne Simmons a few years ago. It's not just, you know, these things are happening currently, and they're happening often. People just don't want to look at it.
Van, do you think... you think hockey players as a whole are less inclined to rock the boat, to put themselves out there and take a position? You know, I'm thinking about the White House visits for the Stanley Cup winners, you know, versus the debate around whether NBA champions or NFL champions or even baseball champions would go to the White House during the Trump years. There, you know, among hockey players, there didn't seem to be much debate about whether they would do it. Is that a hockey thing or is that a race thing?
Well, I think it's a culture thing. For sure. I think, you know, you talk about rocking the boat, we can't even get enough people on the boat to start. So it'd be impossible to rock the boat. Well, the problem is that hockey culture and the way it's ingrained, especially in terms of Canada and throughout minor hockey, is to put your head down, go to work, and shut your mouth. That's essentially the message from when you step on the ice at 5 years old or 8 years old, whatever it may be. And it's continuously pounded into you to conform to what everybody else is doing. And when you have certain players that don't conform to what these old school and, you know, old school mindsets that are at the top are telling you to do, then you're viewed as a bad apple or a problem or a bad guy, you know, and that's a major problem. And that's been, and there's been plenty of examples of that. And as a player, and you're coming into the league as a young player, and you see that, when you're thinking, well, I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be thought of as the bad guy. I don't want to be thought of as the bad apple or the bad teammate or whatever it may be. And they just make a decision to conform, and it takes away from who they truly are.
Jeff, did you want to say something? Or
oh, go ahead, sorry. Richard.
Yeah, really quick, Evander. I think everybody on the show appreciates you speaking out. And regarding what you just said, I'm an American. I think people listening to the show know that. And one of the things I appreciate about the NBA is it's always been a sport of individualism, where individualism is celebrated both on and off the court. Mm-hmm. Hockey, football, mm-hmm. they're collectivisms. And as you sort of just described, it's always more about the group than the individual. And I wonder, do you expect this to change at all when it comes to hockey in your lifetime? Because it strikes me that the only way this will change is if more people like you speak out. And just to be very blunt, more white players speaking out than just players of color.
I mean, yeah, I obviously, you know, basketball, I understand your point in terms of, you know, it embracing the individuality of players and using that to better their sport economically, which is obviously why they're the highest paid athletes out of any. And I think that's great. You know, and it has a much different culture than the NHL and same with football and even to a degree Major League Baseball. But, you know, with hockey, is it going to change? I hope. I'm going to try to be a part of the solution and process in creating that change. But, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. When it comes to social injustices and racism in hockey, it requires change at the top, because, you know, that's the only way true change is going to take place at the top, because it's going to have a trickle down effect. And until things change at the top, whether that's, you know, whoever heads up minor hockey in each province, whoever heads up junior hockey leagues and so on and so forth, you know, until they make the necessary change to condemn these sort of acts and mindsets, to be honest, because like I said, a lot of it is in silence. And really, you know, weed out that type of thought process, you know, we're going to be stuck in the same position we are today, and that's unfortunate.
Evander, listen, we really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks so much. Your voice is one that we love hearing. It's one that needed to be heard. It's one that needs to be heard all the time. And believe me, you have an open invitation to come on this show anytime. Thank you so much for doing this. Stay safe, and we look forward to chatting again.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.